A high-tech CEO is lost in a GA accident. Another European airline has shut down, stranding passengers. And Chuck Schumer isn't giving up on helicopter noise restrictions. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Monday, February 6th, 2012. Steve Appleton, the 51-year-old CEO of Micron Technology, was killed Friday in the crash of a Lancer 4P at Boise International Airport in Idaho. The impact point was reportedly between the airport's two runways, and a post-crash fire completely consumed the wreckage. Appleton was the only occupant of the plane, and no injuries were reported on the ground. Initial witness reports say Appleton was only at 200 feet or less following takeoff when he requested a return to the field. The aircraft reportedly was seen banking and may have stalled before impact just before 9 a.m. local time. Bloomberg reports it was his second flight of the day, the first being a takeoff which was aborted at only 5 to 10 feet AGL. Appleton reported a problem, but the exact nature is not clear. Steve Appleton was a skydiver, aerobatic pilot, and motorcycle racer who started at Micron when he was 22 years old. The company, which is the only remaining U.S. manufacturer of computer memory chips, has struggled in recent years, and Appleton was reportedly trying to diversify its business model. Trading of the company's stock on the NASDAQ was suspended 2 hours after the accident on Friday. For the second time in a week, a European airline has abruptly ceased operations, stranding thousands of passengers. This time it was Maliv Airline, based in Hungary, which grounded all its planes on Friday, ending 66 years of continuous service. USA Today reports the airline was teetering on insolvency for some time, but was pushed over the edge when Tel Aviv Airport required it to pay for its fuel and other services in advance. The grounding affected 7,200 passengers with tickets or in transit. Maliv CEO Laurent Limburger tells AFP News the effect snowballed, with more and more suppliers and partners asking for payments up front. Quote, "No company can honor payments months in advance," unquote. Hungarian Prime Minister Viktor Orban says despite the ongoing European debt crisis, quote, "I believe a restart is not impossible," unquote. New York Senator Charles Schumer, a Democrat who tried to get local restrictions on helicopter noise for his state amended to the FAA reauthorization bill, lost that skirmish with his colleagues. But he says he'll keep trying and that helicopter operators should heed a wake-up call and know that, quote, "Long Island will not continue to be the Wild West," unquote. The Associated Press quotes Schumer as indicating that Transportation Secretary Ray LaHood will pursue the changes through the FAA regulatory process, and he thinks it could get done by Memorial Day. Schumer complains voluntary noise abatement procedures put in place 5 years ago have been largely ignored by the industry. He wants a minimum altitude of 2,500 feet AGL for helicopters, and new rules to require helicopter flights to Long Island and the Hamptons to be conducted north of the city over Long Island Sound. Still ahead, the ACLU is calling the Obama administration on its drone attack policy. A senator writes the White House to warn about user fee impacts. And new checkpoint technology could be a boon to follicle hygiene. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Monday, February 6th. I'm Paul Plack. The American Civil Liberties Union says on its blog that it has filed a lawsuit under the Freedom of Information Act, seeking information on a targeted killing program which relies heavily on the use of UAVs. The suit stems from an incident last September in which two U.S.-born Taliban were killed in a UAV attack in Yemen, and a third U.S.-born person was killed in a separate attack a week later. On its blog, the ACLU notes, quote, "The administration has not adequately explained the legal basis for these strikes, and it has not explained the factual basis either, unquote. Noting that President Obama has defended the program as recently as last week, the group insists the claim that the program's existence cannot be confirmed by the CIA is not an excuse for stonewalling. Quote, the public has a right to know the evidence and legal basis for the deliberate targeted killing of U.S. citizens, unquote. General aviation user fees are not a partisan issue. They've been proposed by the Bush administration and again by President Obama. They're also being opposed by lawmakers from both parties. Florida Senator Bill Nelson, a Democrat, has sent a letter to the White House opposing the administration's proposed $100 per flight user fee. The letter reads in part, quote, I know we're facing difficult economic times in our country, but we've got to get our financial house in order without hindering high-growth industries, such as general aviation. Adding new fees will impact travelers and businesses alike, discouraging domestic operations and threatening our global competitiveness, unquote. Senator Nelson is not a newcomer to the issue. In a March 2010 interview for NBAA's magazine Business Aviation Insider, he noted that the fees, quote, would hurt small and medium-sized businesses by taking away their ability to fly on their own schedules and get to out-of-the-way areas not served by the airlines, unquote. Last year, 116 members of the House and 23 senators wrote to the president opposing user fees for deficit reduction. And finally today, Reveal Imaging, a wholly owned subsidiary of Science Applications International Corporation, says a new system for screening and detecting liquids in passenger carry-on bags has been successfully tested. SAIC says the device successfully passed lab testing and has met the requirements set by the European Civil Aviation Conference. The most challenging test was conducted using the Reveal Dual Energy CT-800 scanner, which is capable of screening 500 to 600 bags per hour. The company claims the tests showed that Reveal's false alarm rates were approximately a factor of 3 below the mandated threshold. Company spokesman Alex Preston says, quote, allowing liquids back into bags will substantially improve operational and economic efficiency for airports throughout Europe and provide greater convenience for the traveling public. Passing the Type D test so convincingly, we believe will change the landscape of airport screening for years to come, unquote. Yeah, and we might have to stop making jokes about terrorists planning shampoo attacks. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, CFI Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves discusses the importance of AirMets and SIGMETs. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iTunes, Odeo, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.